Hello everyone, I hope you're well. A very warm welcome to the latest episode of the Travel Podcast with me, Hengi Sparks. Now, you know I always enjoy these episodes, but I have to say I have been extremely looking forward to this one. So excited because we are joined by such a special guest that you will know and love. And what she's doing in the travel space is so fascinating, and I think it's going to help and inspire so many people. So I'm delighted that she's taking time out of her day to join us on the Travel Podcast. It is the beautiful Liz McClarnon. Welcome to the Travel Podcast.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. Well, Liz, I've been a fan of yours for years, and I recently saw that you had set up this incredible community on Instagram called the No Fly Traveler, all about your travels around the world that you get to without going on a flight. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. There must be so many people out there in this situation for a host of different reasons that prefer not to fly, maybe can't fly, but still want to travel. So I would love to find out all about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, No Fly Traveler, that is me now. That is so funny because some people, like, actually someone walked up to me the other day in the street and went, No Fly Traveler. And I was like, oh yeah, that's me. Oh, wow, thanks. Yeah, I was like, oh my God, someone knows me for that. You know what I mean? So it's really cool. It basically does what it says on the tin. I am somebody who does not fly, but likes to travel a lot. And I decided one day that I used to put it on my normal Instagram, just like a couple of bits about not flying. And, you know, a few people would be like, oh God, you know, funny jokes. You know, what, you don't get to go anywhere. What did you do when you were in a Atomic Kitten? All that kind of stuff. But I get a lot of messages that were like, oh, have you ever been to, I don't know, Berlin? You know, how would you get there? And I just thought, like, there's quite a few people that want to know this. So I would share. And then one day, I genuinely got a bit bored. I was like, I'm going to start an Instagram account. I'm going to call it No Fly Traveler. That was it. And it's just started to grow really, really quickly. It's over 100,000 already. And, you know, it's been going about a year. So it's, you know, it's just weird. Yeah.
Just taken off. It's amazing. And you mentioned, obviously, if you don't mind me asking, with your career in Atomic Kitten and obviously all the TV work that you've done over the years, I assume that at that stage in your life, you were probably flying like constantly around the world.
Yeah, so much. We flew so much. There were times that we had more flights in the week than there were days. So, you know, that wasn't a rarity. That happened a lot. And I didn't mind flying. I didn't really like it. I just was a bit like, meh, it's got to be done. To be honest, and that's what's interesting, is that the people I've come across that speak to me that still fly, that talk to me on No Fly Traveler, that's what they say. They're like, it's just something that's got to be done. I just want to get to my holiday and get there and enjoy it because work is so stressful and this is so stressful. And I say to them, absolutely get it. Totally get it. I think there are very few people that go, the plane's my favorite bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? So I actually do know. I have a friend who is like that. And I'm just like, you're weird, but anyway, whatever. she loves flying. But I just thought, you know, I need to share this. I've forgotten my train of thought's just gone. Sorry.
No. So let's go back to, so you were flying around the world, obviously this incredible singing career and TV career and doing all this. Was there a particular moment where you thought this just, you know, flying just isn't for me anymore? Did something happen or trigger that decision?
I obviously flew more than most people. So my experience was different to a lot of other people's. There were a lot of times that were, you know, precarious situations. There were, you know, things that happened. I wouldn't say that to people because this is a travel podcast and I wouldn't ever want to put those things in people's heads, but it was just something that happened to me and it was something that made me so uncomfortable that I then decided that it was too uncomfortable for me. So that what happened slowly is that I would become a little obsessed then with the flight in a negative way. So the fact that initially and in the band, I would not really think about the flight and I'd be like, oh, here we go, here's the flight, whatever. instead, what sort of happened towards the end of me flying was that I would actually obsess about it. So the week, like weeks, maybe close to a month before a flight would happen, as they got more rare, I would become really obsessed about the flight and think, well, will this happen? Will that happen? And then for the whole time I was away, especially if it was a holiday and I was meant to be relaxing, I would obsess about the flight on the way for the whole holiday. So for the flight home. And I just thought, well, none of this is enjoyable anymore. None of this is, you know, this isn't a holiday for me now. So I had to find a way. And obviously initially, it was to just not travel initially, because also for me, this was like 16, 17 years ago. So there wasn't a lot of, websites that were like, hey, do this, do that. If you don't want to fly, do this. Whereas now it's becoming a thing. It's, dare I say, a little bit fashionable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's lovely that you've shared it, Liz. And I think so many people will relate to that. And if you're a travel lover and like you say, you know, you kind of get through the flight or someone enjoys it, that's great. But there'll be a multitude of different reasons that people listening have. It could even be, disabilities, accessibility issues, so many different reasons where flying might not be ideal for them, or it might give them different anxieties. And as you said, the whole point of travel is to have fun, is to explore, is to enjoy. And if you can still, you've proved that you can do that in so many other ways. And I think that's why your community has grown so fast so quickly, because until I saw what you were doing, I'd never seen anyone else talk about it or become a bit of an expert or a guiding light for people. And I think people probably sat there going, yes, finally, we've got some ideas and we're inspired. And that's why it's really nice. Taken off.
Yeah, I would hope that would be the case, actually. Yeah. And interestingly, a lot of travel agents have been in touch, like saying, "This can I share this page? Because this is like really interesting to me." Like you're saying, you know, it's like people are like, "This is new and I like this idea. I'm going to promote this. This is really cool." So I thought that's really makes me think, oh, maybe this is good.
It is good. You're definitely onto something there. So let's dive a little bit deeper into, like, you know, where did you go for your first ever trip? And like, how did you know where to go or decide where to go?
So my first ever trip was, it starts a little bit sad, the idea of it. So my mom had just been diagnosed with cancer. She's great now. She's all good. But, and it was a really, scary time for us all. And I had actually just decided that I wasn't going to fly anymore. But she loves a holiday. God, she loves a holiday. And she said to me, I need to go away. I need to do something. And I had time off. And I was like, I really want to take you away. I want to treat you to something. But I didn't know how it was going to go down. But I just said to her, what do you think about, like, we'll try to go to, like, I've heard that there are trains. Once you get to Paris, there are trains from Paris to the south of France. What do you think about that? We could possibly do that. And I thought she might go, oh, it's a bit too stressful. But she went, oh, my God, I love a train. Let's do it. So initially it was a lot more expensive than it is now, but I was just like, oh, God, let's just do it. Let's, commit to this. So my first ever proper no fly trip, apart from, I've done the Eurostar with the girls and with the band and stuff like that. But my first ever proper no fly trip was to a place called San Rafael in the south of France, which is, you get a train, you get the Eurostar from London to the north of Paris, then you have to get across Paris yourself, either by the metro or by taxi. And then from the south of France in a train station called Gare de Lyon, you get there's several trains to different parts of the south of France. And that took about 5 hours from there. And that was it. We were on a holiday. And we got a bit tipsy on the train. I'm going to be honest with you. It was really, honestly. And what I realized then, and it's what so many people come to me now and say once they've done their first like couple of trips, is that the journey is part of the holiday. You're having a few little drinks and it's all very nice, and people do that on the plane, but I don't know, it just feels different for me on a train. It's so relaxing and I just loved it. And that was it. We went nuts.
Oh, wow. So that really ignited, like, yeah. That was the start of it. That first trip with your mom, you had the best time. And then I guess you suddenly saw the opportunities. Did you then feel like the world had opened up to you again?
Yeah, it was because there was a time where, like I said, I didn't fly for a while. Sorry, I didn't travel for a while. And I, you know, it was a sad time. It was like, I had to work out whether that was going to be my life. And obviously I did a lot of courses, you know, the Flying Without Fear courses, all of those things. And I kept trying to fix, you know, quote unquote, myself. And it wasn't working. So once I discovered that this was an option, for me at least, you know, I knew that my mum would go with me at least. You know what I mean? That I could do that with my mom. We could just have our little holidays together, you know, maybe just the south of France, maybe a bit of Spain, maybe a bit of, you know, Germany, you know, so we could just have our little holidays together. And then I had to, there was a show I needed to get to in Mallorca. And then a month later, funnily enough, I had to come back and go back to Mallorca again for a wedding. And I said to my brother, who's really, to be honest, one of my best friends, I said, would you come to this like show with me? And he was like, yeah. I'll go. He said, pay for my ticket and I'll go. And I was like, okay. So he came to Mallorca with me and we got like a ferry from Barcelona. We had, again, had a few drinks. You know, we were like, I was in my 30s. It was great. And then, you know, so I found another like friend who would go with me. And then as my friends found out, like real friends found out that that's something I did, one or two friends were like, I'm a bit interested in this. And then I found, met my husband who I was petrified because relationships was a big one for me. You know, maybe people might not understand because some people don't. And then, when I met my husband, my now husband, he was just like, if wherever I can go with you is brilliant. And I was like, oh my God, will you marry me?
Oh, you know, as a keeper. Yeah. And I, you know, presume and assuming that he's probably absolutely been enriched by the experience of traveling in this new way. Is that the case?
He is. Mr. Sustainability now. He's like, did you know?
Oh,
yeah, he's like, did you know that a flight to blah blah is this much carbon? I didn't know that. Wow, that's, thank you for telling me that. I'll put that on the page. That's really good information. You know, like he is so he has really, really embraced it. He loves it so much. Really good.
And I assume as well, Liz, it must in a way, as you say, because the journey's becoming very much part of the holiday experience. Mm. Do you find it like adds to the adventure? Like, I'm interested to know how from the traditional sort of, what we all know the airport experience, but actually getting to some of these destinations, whether you're traveling by train, car, ferry, or different modes of transport, how has that changed like the experience of your overall holiday?
The interesting thing is that like, so say I live in London with my husband. The interesting thing for us is that we're not that far from St. Pancras. So we don't have to get out to Gatwick or Heathrow or City Airport or Luton. We go to St. Pancras and we're in the middle of the city. We leave the middle of a city and say we go to Paris, we get into the middle of the city instead of Charles de Gaulle Airport, which is quite a way out. We did a trip to Denmark recently and the train station bang in the middle of the city. You know, that is a massive thing. You know, Amsterdam, all of these things, that's a massive thing. You leave from the center of a city and arrive in the center of a city. I love that bit. Really, really love that bit.
And do you meet more people on the way?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have more like interactions?
Yeah, I guess you do because we're sort of like all a bit like-minded. It's like, oh, what are you doing? And we met a Dutch couple the other day. We were traveling to Luxembourg last weekend and we met a Dutch couple and they were like, oh, you know, is this like, do you fly as well or do you just do these holidays? And we were like, oh, this is what we do. And then, oh, we fly as well, but we like these holidays for this reason or that. And they were lovely. And, you know, so we're all quite like-minded. So it's really lovely. It really is.
Oh, that's so great. And I know you've been to so many destinations, but are there any particular places that you never expected that you'd go to? Obviously, I know you touched on the Mallorca one,
yeah.
But are there any like real highlights of places that you've been that you just absolutely love going to?
Well, it's places, it's kind of like, you know, like the places you wouldn't get to go to because you'd fly into like a big city, like close to a big city. So like you get to go to little train stations like, traveling through the south of France when I initially started not fly in, I found a lot of, you know, just from the train station, I was like, this looks really nice, this little sort of city or town or wherever we are. Oh, that, I've never even thought about this place. Should we try this next year? And then you look into it next year. So that's happened a few times. We've got our holiday ideas from looking out the windows on trains.
Oh, wow.
It's really nice. And then, and I think places like, so to get to Norway, which I did at the end of last year, I decided to go from, leave from the top of Denmark. So I got a ferry, a 3-hour ferry from there, which put me into a place called Kristiansand in Norway. And oh my God, I don't think you would, it'd be somewhere that you would fly into. But oh my God, it was so beautiful, this place. Actually, I did a reel on it. It's on my Instagram page. But oh, it was just a stunning, stunning, stunning place. And I wouldn't have known about that place because you'd go, you know, you'd just fly into a big city. And this place was just absolutely gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. So places like that, really.
That's a massive benefit, Liz, isn't it? That you are, by the nature of how you're getting to these destinations, you are discovering the hidden gems.
Yeah.
And I wonder as well whether when you are going to different places, maybe sometimes they're not as crowded, you know? Mm. You're not like necessarily fighting with as many tourists if they're a little bit, you know, not necessarily the obvious destinations that people are flying into or a different part of the country.
Yeah, definitely.
I just think that's so great. And how does it affect, obviously I know when it comes to travel, cost is just, you know, it's so up and down, it really, mm-hmm. really varies, but do you find it quite an affordable, would you say, like, way to travel? Does it make it a bit more expensive, or is it just you can't really answer because every trip's different?
No, I'm gonna be honest, it's not as affordable as flying. You know, obviously you can get expensive flights anyway, but this mm-hmm. is the sad thing about it. And it's so, they're putting so many trains on now, and they you know, releasing so many more routes for trains, like high speed routes. Like, even they've got another train company that are gonna leave from St. Pancras now. It's a I think it's a Swiss company, and
I saw that, yeah, on the Instagram. Yeah,
so hopefully the plan there is that they will, you know, there'll be like a challenge on, you know, prices, maybe, you know, so if you can't get Eurostar, then you can get this other company that maybe might be different. Also, as well, you can't take pets on Eurostar. You can only have assistance animals, so like assistant dog and cat. So hopefully maybe this Swiss company might look into that, just things like that. So yes, flying does work out cheaper, but there are ways of saving money on these situations. So we have this, it's quite well known within like the community, and it's quite well known about this thing called an Interrail pass. I found out about it from a German student, and I was on a German train that cost me a fortune because I was traveling around Germany doing some shows, and all these tickets had cost me, you know, quite a bit of money, but I was, you know, going the length and breadth of Germany and over like, you know, a month. And he started talking to me about this thing called Interrail. He was like, you go on the website, you buy a pass for like, I don't know, like 3 days. You use this 3 days within a month or 5 days or, you know, 2 weeks, whatever. You need to travel on these certain days and you put it into the system. And it will cost you at the difference in price. So you could get like a first class ticket for like 300 euros or something. I'm getting the numbers wrong, so don't quote me, sorry. But like... The prices are amazing, so you can save so much money there. Things like Eurostar do a thing called Snap, where you can decide what day you travel, but you don't know if you're going to travel in the morning or the afternoon. So and you can get it for much cheaper. You can get tickets once you get into Europe. Ticket prices drop so much. I mean, we all know that train tickets from the UK are just extortionate anyway. You know, they're so expensive. But once you get into Europe, you're talking totally different prices. Really, really, you can get from the top of France to the bottom for like, you know, 30 quid. It's just like, and it's a massive country, obviously. So, you know, it's just, yeah, it's a different kettle of fish once you get onto the continent.
What a good tip. I remember once, just for my trips in and out of London for work, someone shared with me about, a network rail card that you can pay £30 for the year, and when you're traveling off peak, you save like a third on your travel. Yeah. And then if you're bringing people with you, they save on your travel. And I just thought, you know, when you just look back and think of all the money you literally threw down the drain, yeah. if only you'd have known. This was a thing. So what you've just shared with the audience, wow, that's going to help a lot of people. Yeah. And I'm so passionate, Liz, that everybody deserves a holiday. Mm. They really do. Everybody deserves to travel. And, you know, I talk about it a lot, you know, my TV appearances, because, you know, budget is, of course, affecting so many people, but there can be creative ways, even if you're having a beautiful staycation and you go and pet sit, for example, you can sign up to agencies where you can actually go and, if you've got experience with cats and dogs and things looking after animals, you can go and stay in a family home in exchange for looking for their pets. And I just think the more that people talk about alternative ways, cheaper ways to travel, the more people will get the holidays or the travel that they deserve, because I do feel like so passionately that everybody deserves to be able to get away in some capacity.
Away from the stresses.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think what you're doing, what you're sharing is just so fascinating. And do you get a lot of tips back from your community? Do you ever get inspired by some of their journeys and then think, oh, I'm going to add that to my list?
Like 1,000 times over. And that's why when I've explained it to a lot of people are like, oh, you're like, you know, you're the person that explains it to everyone. I'm like, no. This is our community. So like that's what I keep saying. And that's what it says in the bio. It's a community because we help each other. So I'm trying to start a website at the moment. That takes a while. I didn't realize that. And I want like a forum, like an old school, like 90s sort of noughties kind of forum where people just share their trips and their tips and tricks, like you just said, because even if I post a reel, there'll be loads of comments just replying to other people from other people saying, oh, we went there, but we actually stayed there and we did this. And actually, if you go on this date, it's always cheaper in this month. And I'm just like, wow, this is just so good. I appreciate it so much. I think one of the big things that has spurred me on, I wanted to just share, because I couldn't find routes years ago. And now I know a lot of routes. I wanted to share them with people. And the best messages I get, but a lot a day, just saying thank you so much for this, thank you so much. And I'm like, that's just brilliant. Like, that's just what I want. It's all I want, is for you to be able to do go somewhere if you want to go somewhere. But I really love that for people, really do.
Yeah, Liz, that must be so satisfying for you. Mm-hmm. And so lovely, like you say, it's so great to be part of any community where you feel part of something, you can share, you can find friends, you can help each other, you can inspire each other, and the possibilities are endless. And as you say, with all of these updates that you put on the community as well, like you say, new rail links and new customers and new companies. And I don't know if cruising's your thing, but just in the cruise sector, like no fly cruises are absolutely booming. Yeah. Because again, let's talk about, for a lot of disabled passengers, getting on a flight can be really challenging, or even families with children that maybe don't want the stress of an airport, to go to Dover and to sail around the Med, for example, you know, 7-14 days, not to have to have been through an airport. And then you get that massive benefit of traveling light and not having I beg your pardon, the opposite. You don't have to travel, because you can take on a cruise as much as you want. And that's my final question before I let you go, Liz. I bet you've got amazing like travel products, but how do you find, because you are obviously going a long way on and off on trains, how does that sort of like impact the luggage? Do you take what you would normally take with you? Do you take like a big case when you travel or how does that work?
I know that on Eurostar you can take 2 large pieces of luggage. It's not a massive thing. I've never had anybody challenge me on the amount of luggage, and I've never seen anybody challenged. There's you get a lot of Americans on the Eurostar and on European trains, and you know, they've come over for a long time and they have a lot of luggage, and they're never challenged on their amount of luggage. It really is. It's excellent in that way, really, really good. You know, there's no challenge on liquids, there's no challenge on, there's nothing. It's great. It's really, really great. Yeah.
That's brilliant, because I don't know if you're anything like me. I cannot travel light to save my life.
I mean, if I've got a show, I'm taking four outfits. So, you know, like four just stage outfits. So there's no such thing as traveling light at all. Not at all.
No, absolutely not. When you need the glam for stage and singing, you've got to have it all in. Well, Liz, it has been an absolute delight to talk to you. I can't thank you enough for coming on the Travel Podcast. I know that so many of our listeners are going to be fascinated and want to join you. So I've written down that the Instagram handle is no_fly_traveler.
Yes.
And you are at Liz McLaren on Chu. Is that pronounced correctly?
Chow. Liz McLaren and Chow.
Chow. Yeah. I beg your Don't pardon. Worry. Chow. Amazing. So yeah, and you'll just pop Liz's name in and she's gonna come up and we'll put all of the links in the show notes as well. So you can just click on the links in the show notes. But I can't recommend following Liz's accounts enough. It's a growing community. Even if you love to fly, but you just want something different, you want a different route, you want a different type of holiday, a different type of adventure, check out some of Liz's recommendations for those hidden gems that you probably would never get to go to on a traditional fly holiday. And there's so much inspiration on there. So
thank you,
Liz. Thank you so much. I will be watching your travels and I can't wait to see you next.
Hayley, thank you so much. I love the podcast, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you so much for listening. Please do share this with any of your friends. And if you're interested in having a no-fly holiday, do reach out to the travel consultant that shared this podcast with you. They're always there to help plan your journeys. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next time.